In 1927, Pablo Picasso was walking down a street in Paris when a young woman caught his eye. Their relationship blossomed, and Marie-Thérèse Walter became the mother of one of his children and his muse. John Richardson and Picasso's granddaughter, Diana Rudmeier Picasso, are the curators of an exhibit at the Gagosian Gallery called Picasso and Marie-Thérèse, L'Amour Fou, which runs now through June 30th, and I'm very pleased it has brought both of them to our show today. Hello.
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 Diana, did you ever meet your famous grandfather?
No. No. He died when I was just born, and unfortunately I didn't.
And is there any art that your family owns that the public hasn't seen?
In the exhibition?
Well, did you own some of the paintings or sculptures that are in the exhibit?
Yes, in my family. Yes, my family. Oh, yes. Various members of my family have actually kindly agreed to land, and some of them have never been seen. Mm-hmm. And even in the United States.
Well, some members of the family have gone into the arts of sorts. Is there a genetic component here, or are there other artists?
In the family?
Yes.
Yes, my cousin is a musician. My brother started painting, and I'm an art historian, so I guess we all have a deep interest for art.
John, you were friends with Picasso until he died in 1973, but that was long after his relationship with Marie-Thérèse had ended.
Yes, the relationship went on quite a long time after they officially had stopped having an affair, because after Dora Maar moved into the picture and then François Gillot. But whenever he was in Paris, he saw her every Sunday. And in the end, his second wife, Jacqueline, got rather jealous of this, and she said, he had to put a stop to this, and she made a great scene. I remember I was around at the time, and so he stopped seeing her, really, after 1952, and she retired from the picture and lived very quietly, didn't she? I think in Nice or Menton?
In Menton.
In Menton.
And Jean Lépin.
And well, Jean Lépin.
Well, there was a significant age difference between them. How old was she when they met?
She was 17. Mm.
Was 17 the age of consent in France at the time?
Yeah, she was she was legal, as it were. There was no problem.
And how old was he?
He was 45.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he? Yes, yes.
Yes.
He was 45.
Now, he was also married. So was it the age difference or the fact that they were married that they kept their relationship secret for so long?
Mm-hmm. It was a very, very jealous wife, Olga, a Russian ballerina. And she knew how unfaithful Picasso was capable of being, and so she was on the lookout. And I think Picasso very cleverly kept her secret from Olga. I think I have a theory that he used decoys. There's a Japanese model he had, and one of the paintings in the show is of the Japanese model dressed up in Marie-Thérèse's famous bathing suit, which she wears in one of the greatest images of her. And I think this was to suggest to his wife that the Japanese model was the other woman in his life, whereas in fact it was, of course, Marie-Thérèse.
What about Marie-Thérèse's parents? Did they know she was seeing Picasso?
Yes, I was just going to add that Marie-Thérèse's father was also a married man, so I guess she grew up in a secretive family.
And her mother kind of encouraged the relationship, didn't she?
Mm.
Didn't she provide them with...
Yes, I think the mother seems to have been... at first, I think she was very protective of her daughter. She had three daughters. And Picasso loved the mother. And he used to talk very touchingly about her, and he did a very good portrait of her. And so I think she had an affair at one point with an artist. And so she sort of felt she lived again, I think, through this romance. And she made Picasso very welcome. He had a little place to work in her house outside Paris on the Marne. And there was a little shed or something in the garden where I think he could work. And she was always, she knew what was going on. And when World War II came, she joined Picasso and her daughter, Doyon, and that's when the isn't that when the portrait was done of her,
mm-hmm.
Of the mother? So it, that
he,
was,
so he painted the mother as well.
He painted the mother as well, yeah.
Now, is it true that when Picasso approached Marie-Thérèse, she didn't know who he was? He was pretty famous already, wasn't he?
That's what the story tells, yes. And I can imagine that. I mean, she was only 17 and not really.
And he had to take her into a shop, the story goes, to show her his work and to show her that he was really an important artist. Now, what was his position in the art world at the time? He'd become one of the two most important painters in France after he and Braque developed Cubism. He and Matisse were the great rivals, weren't they?
Well, yes, Matisse and Picasso were the two great rivals. And he was emerging from his sort of neoclassical phase and becoming a much more modernist, a sort of major modernist artist. And so long as he was sort of, he was part of Olga and the Russian Ballet Diaghilev circle, he painted rather a lot of classical portraits of her, and his work was sort of neoclassical. And then I think when Marie-Thérèse was his muse, and I think Marie-Thérèse had an enormously important sort of loosening up effect on him, and that he sort of his work took on a whole new dimension, and that's what's so moving about this show, I think, is that we show how this happens and how he remains a sort of neoclassicist in a way, but he experiments. He is much influenced by a film of the times, 1928, a man called Painlevé did a film about pre-Cousteau of fish life under the sea, and there was a separate segment on crabs, lobsters, squids, and so on. And one of the discoveries we made in doing research for the show was we found that many of the paintings corresponded rather closely to frames in this particular film, which was a great success at the time.
Well, Marie-Thérèse has a kind of a classic face. You would have thought he would have continued in the classic style, but he seemed to move on to a new style whenever he fell in love with another woman.
Yes, but Marie-Thérèse shows many metamorphoses, which I reflected in the exhibition, the variety of technique, of material. Everything seems there's a rivalry between all the mediums to see which one would sing better, Marie-Thérèse was.
Now, since so much of it was kept secret for many years, was it difficult for you to find out about your own family history?
Yes, absolutely. Very much so. Yeah.
So you had to research your own, what had happened in the past by looking at art books, I guess, and looking at art.
Well, if you think that Picasso's work is a diary, I think the truth is inscribed in the paintings, even if you don't always want to admit. So that was the base of my research. But last year, I was able to access a big number of documents, photographies of Marie-Thérèse. So after having seen her on painting canvases, we can now compare it to the way she really looks like, including this little flip book, which is presented at the end of the exhibition on an animation movie, which this is the great thing of new technology, is that you can actually see her moving now.
That's a great discovery of yours.
This is just recent?
Diana discovered it last year.
Yes.
And it's wonderful because you really sort of, she comes to life in the show. I mean, you see all these images of her, and then you see her making a gesture, sort of pushing her hair back. And it lasts basically about, a few seconds.
And I think the most beautiful thing is that she's in a photo booth, and she's being directed by Picasso himself. He's saying, turn your head to the left, to the right, and you see that there's a seduction between the two. So I guess that's the strength of moment.
It's very moving, that piece.
My guests are Diana Vibar, Picasso, and John Richardson. We're talking about a new exhibit at the Gagosian Gallery called Picasso and Marie-Thérèse, L'Amour Fou, which runs through June 25th. And you can see some amazing images and a slideshow on our show page at WNYC.org. Now, the subtitle here is L'Amour Fou, which is a French phrase that really is almost untranslatable, but it almost means obsessive love, doesn't it?
Well, it is a phrase which was taken up very much by the Surrealists. And the Surrealists, above all by the leader of the Surrealists, André Breton, who wrote a book about a girl he'd picked up underneath a sort of in a wet night underneath a lamppost, not a hooker, but a girl with a sort of distressed, came from a sort of terrible background, in need of help. That this kind of girl became an obsession with the surrealists. And so André Breton had his girl and wrote the book about it. The girl ended up in a lunatic asylum and died. I mean, it was an all-appalling tragedy. But I think that's what Picasso was after, and he has the luck to find this absolutely wonderful girl who had every possible human quality and was absolutely devoted to him, unlike, I think, most of the other girls, the girls you found on a wet night under a lamppost, I mean, who were sort of dotty or druggies or whatever it was. I mean, she was the really pillar of his life.
Well, they were together a long time, as you say, although not always together, but he continued to paint her from 1927 to 1941. So that's a long time. When did their relationship become known? When did his wife find out, for example? Did his friends know before she did?
I mean, he kept her – he had to keep her very secret because he'd filed for divorce. And his lawyer said, for God's sake, never be perceived as living under the same roof. Be very, very careful. So this was hidden from everybody. There were very, very few people who knew about it. His one of his principal dealers, Kahnweiler, I asked Kahnweiler about it. He said he didn't really know about it until just before the war. And so he was very successful at keeping her hidden.
But then she became – well, first of all, there was an exhibit. People must have recognized her from some of the paintings. Did that cause a scandal?
No. No, it didn't. Amazing.
Well,
it?
Of course, artists paint models all the time without having affairs with them.
Mm-hmm. I think he managed to pass her off as his model. And very few of the friends, I mean, they knew he had a mistress. I mean, they knew he had lots of mistresses, but that he had this one mistress he adored and who was virtually his wife, that was kept very carefully hidden, above all from Olga, the wife. And then from he did everything he could to keep her apart from Dora Maar, who was his next mistress. And the two of them also played a very similar role in his life. But Marie-Thérèse was always the wife figure. The mm-hmm. other women were mistresses.
But of course, all the dealers and all the critics and art lovers did notice that there was a new kind of eroticism within his work at that time.
And I suspect Olga, when she saw some of the nude paintings, figured something out, didn't she?
Yes, and Kahnweiler, I remember in 1932, after leaving the studio, he did say, I mean, we left overwhelmed. It's a new kind of eroticism, a giant eroticism.
Well, what happened when she became pregnant with your mother?
Mm-hmm.
People, did they know that it was Picasso's child?
I think she was kept so hidden that nobody did know except a half dozen friends. I mean, he was very successful at keeping her hidden. Also, Marie-Thérèse, unlike a lot of other women in his life, wanted to be hidden. I mean, she wanted to hide away. She was happy with that. She didn't want to appear on the public stage. She didn't want to be recognized. And so she went along with this. And she was by nature extremely discreet. And for the rest of her life, I mean, after Picasso no longer saw her, she sort of disappeared from sight. And the person the woman who came up with a lot of facts about Marie-Thérèse, an art historian called Lydia Gassman, she had to hunt her out and find her in Menton. And she told, she was very factual about the whole thing, and so we know a lot about the relationship. And I must say, Marie-Thérèse always comes out of it as a wonderful, supportive, very touching figure.
How much did Maya, Maria de la Concepcion, know about the circumstances of her birth?
Well, considering that great historians among them, John Richardson, she knows, I guess, every single thing.
But it's odd that she has to learn from a historian rather than from her father himself.
Yes, but I think with times goes. I mean, it's confusing, the memories and what story tells. I mean, there's so many books.
This is a gallery show. This is the sort of show. How many pieces?
Around 90.
90 pieces. Mm-hmm. This is the sort of thing that we would expect a museum to put together. How does it wind up being shown at the Gagosian Gallery?
Ask Gagosian. I don't know. I mean,
but has any museum ever? Have you discussed the idea with any museums?
It's been. Yeah, for many years I wanted to help organizing that exhibition, but somehow it was not the right moment. Not for the Picasso Museum in Paris or major institutions in America. So after seeing the spectacular exhibition on Mosqueteras, I suggested Larry Gagosian, and I said, "Well, it would be wonderful one day to have an exhibition on Marie Thérèse," and he said, "Let's do it."
None of the paintings are for sale, are they?
No, not.
And I assume some of them have never been seen before in public?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few have never been seen. I mean, they've been in collections of family members. And we're very lucky to have them because the family keeps a lot of stuff hidden away, and we don't know which member of the family owns what. And so it's a huge, huge pleasure to have this, and a huge opportunity to get to see a whole lot of unknown stuff.
And major sculptures, you know, it's the moment where Picasso's.
Well, Diana, practiced. How did you get people to lend it? Did you just say as a favor for a member of the family?
No, I think the combination of John's and John's forces and mine. I mean, it's been several years that I'm working on a catalog resume of Picasso sculptures, and Marie Thérèse is one of the most creative moment of Picasso's time. I think it's the first major exhibition on Marie Thérèse, and when people understood that it was a very substantial show, they accepted to lend. But it was not easy.
And when the show closes,
you did a show of your grandmother, didn't you, in Germany?
Yes. There was an exhibition, but there were mostly there were a few paintings, but they're specialized in prints, so there were a lot of prints and drawings.
And this was a time when he was doing a lot of sculpture, and there's a lot of sculpture.
Well, that's
as well.
What one of the main things about our show is that we wanted to show how sculpture and painting interact, and Marie Thérèse is the perfect model for that.
Just one more thing after the show closes, everything just goes back to the owners.
Alas, yes.
Yes.
Well, meanwhile, we have until June 25th to see this at the Gagosian Gallery. This is the one uptown?
Downtown.
In Chelsea. My great thanks to John Richardson and Diana Widmeyer Picasso for being with us today to talk about the show, Picasso and Marie Thérèse, L'Amour Fou.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you so much.